Okay, we're back to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. I am here today with Judy Duenas. I'm saying it correctly, but now have Judy Baeza. And Judy Baeza is clinical professor of pharmacy at St. John's University. Actually, I went to St. John's for business. But this is a tremendous topic today because it's all referencing pharmaceuticals. It's the first topic we're going to have. The first question is talking to your pharmacist, because you hear all the time people are taking this pill, that pill, and all of a sudden they're taking sick. This is a true story. My friend from grammar school, who is the president of the University of Colorado Hospital, was in the hospital for about 2 weeks during the summer, 3 weeks. He was on a couple of different medications, and they gave him something else. He wound up on the floor in his house. His wife was in Connecticut. They had to break down the door to get him. He was in the hospital for 3 weeks due to the interaction of drugs. There was nothing else wrong with him, but it's slurred speech. He's back 100%, but this is a true story when you said it.
And that's a great example of why it's important to talk to your pharmacist and also to use the same pharmacy. Because if your friend had, say, had those prescriptions on his profile in his local pharmacy and now came in with a prescription for the medicine that would interact, pharmacists could have stopped that and said, hey, let me talk to your doctor and say, does he know that you're taking these other drugs? Because the two together could cause serious side effects or even be deadly. And so that's why it's really important to have that relationship with your pharmacist. And I've been on the show a couple times, and we've talked about that. And I always tell the patients, and when I do these talks at senior centers, you know, talk to your pharmacist, ask the questions. By law, the pharmacist is supposed to counsel you.
Okay.
For a new prescription, they're supposed to offer to counsel you. You can say no, but you really shouldn't. And if it's a refill, they're supposed to just kind of check and say, everything's going okay. Do you have any questions? Anything I can answer for you? But if they don't ask you, then, you know, you can say, well, hey, I heard this professor from St. John's. Most of the pharmacists around here will know me. And ask, you know, make sure you know the name of your medicine and not just that little white pill. You know, because when I ask patients, what are you taking? Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, you want the names of them? Oh, that's different, you know.
Right, of course.
And so you want to know the name and what it's supposed to do. You know, don't just say, well, it's something for my heart, because there's a lot of different things it could do for your heart. And, you know, we need to know and understand when and how to take it. And, you know, make sure you understand, if it says twice a day, does that mean like 12 hours apart? Or is it okay to take it, say, breakfast and dinner, or even breakfast and lunch? What does twice a day mean? Because it can be different. Make sure you know if you have to take it with food and what that means, how long before or after meals to wait before, if you're taking it on an empty stomach or if you're taking it with food. And ask about side effects. You know, ask what could happen. You know, what are the key things to watch out for and to be aware of? And when do you call the doctor? When is it a side effect that, you know, you'll get used to it, it's natural, it'll go away, like some medicines will cause some dizziness or drowsiness initially. But when do you call the doctor and say, hey, this is really bad?
Right.
And so those are some of the questions to ask, and ask about, you know, can I drink alcohol with it? You know, I'm never going to tell a patient, oh, yeah, sure, have it with a glass of wine.
Right.
But, you know, maybe you're going to a party, you're going to a wedding. You want to know, can I have a little bit of alcohol because I'm taking my medicine? And then we'll let you know whether a little bit is okay or not.
The question I have, actually, fortunately, I don't take anything. I used to take blood pressure medication, but I don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And But when I took it, I was very bad. Mm-hmm. Take it on Monday, forget it on Tuesday. Fortunately, I really didn't need it, so I'm off it completely. What's the importance of that? I mean, like you started to say, like you take it in the morning one day and you take it in the evening the next day because you remembered it.
Right.
Are you still getting the benefits or not really?
Well, you want a consistent level of the drug in your body, because particularly if you're going to get some side effects, most of the time it's going to happen when you first start the medicine. And so if you're taking it irregularly, you're not having that consistent level in your body. And so when you take it again, now you may be at risk for those side effects again. And you want it to work. You know, if it's blood pressure, you want your blood pressure controlled, you know, regularly. You don't want to have a time when it spikes and then you have a stroke. So adherence is very important, and understanding how to take it. You know, and we'll tell you, like, if you miss a dose, if it's a morning medicine that you take once a day and you realize, say, around noontime you haven't taken it, it's okay to take it.
Okay.
But if it's dinner time or bedtime, you say, oh, I totally forgot my morning medicine. Forget about it. Just start over tomorrow.
Okay.
So we
okay.
say if it's more than 50% of the time to the next dose, just skip it.
Okay, the 50% mark. That's a good one. Yeah. Okay, that's easy to remember. Yeah. If you, you know.
Yeah. And then we have, there's all kinds of things to help you remember to take your medicine. There's, you know, pill boxes that have the days of the week.
Right.
And even different times of the day. So you can have one for breakfast, you know, one pill box for breakfast and one pill box for dinner, or some that have, you know, boxes for breakfast and dinner and lunch. There's timers, there's beepers. You can set things on your phone.
Right, right. The phones even.
You know, I'm seeing more and more patients keeping a list of their medicines on their phone. And
right.
That's an important thing, too, is keep a current list of your medications with you at all times. So God forbid, in the case of emergency, you end up in the emergency room in your wallet or on your phone, there's your list of medicines, and we don't have to start guessing about it or trying to figure out calling pharmacies and physicians.
You know what? I'll take that one step further. For people listening, I also think it's a good idea to have your parents' medications.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get a phone call that something happened to mom or dad, they're in the hospital, you're going to run to the hospital and they say, you know what, she's taken.
Exactly.
You know what, dad's taken. It's home. They're in the cabinet.
Yeah.
But, right, that's a good point. To have it on the phone, say, I know my mother's taken 1, 2, 3, 4 things or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because it helps them get to the next step,
right.
I'm sure, in an emergency situation.
Now, you mentioned the cabinet.
Yeah.
Where's the worst place to keep medicine?
Obviously, the cabinet.
Which cabinet?
Okay. The bathroom cabinet.
The bathroom, yeah. The bathroom, the medicine, what we call the medicine chest, the medicine cabinet, is the worst place to keep medicine because it's too humid in there. So I have to find a cool, dry place. And for medicine you take on a regular basis, put it where you remember it, which for most of us is the kitchen.
Okay.
But keep it out of the reach of children, not right next to the stove, not in direct sunlight. Don't keep it in your car, particularly in the winter when it's really cold and when it's really hot in the summer. But keep it where you remember it. And also, if it's a medicine you've stopped using, get rid of it. Because what's going to happen in that emergency, you know, the daughter's going to go to the mom's house, pull all the bottles she finds, not realizing that half of them are stuff that she stopped, and then give that list to the doctor. And then we see patients starting on medicines that they had stopped 6 months ago because the daughter found it in the house. So get rid of things that you're not taking anymore. And the best way to, do you know how to properly dispose of them?
Call 311 because the town of North Hempstead has a program.
Right. Well, twice a year now we have these drug take-back
right.
days that many places have. But if it's something that you can't wait that time, they say don't flush it, but to put it in the trash. Empty the bottle into something disgusting like kitty litter, coffee grounds, just the garbage. I just go out and sprinkle them sometimes into the garbage can and then throw the bottle out separate. But don't flush it.
Okay.
You know, we are told that all medication has side effects. In fact, a doctor said to me the other day, if you ever knew the side effects, you would never take this. And then you read the precautions that the pharmacist gives you. I mean, how seriously do you take all this?
Well, you look at the risk-benefit. You know, what are the risks of the medicine, but what are the benefits? And what are we treating and why are we treating? And so it's something we always have to weigh, I think, in everything in life. But for so many of the medicines, and particularly as we're looking more and more at older adults, we are looking at that risk-benefit and looking at, you know, how long will it take to see the full benefit of a medicine, and what's the life expectancy of, say, a very elderly patient, and is it worth starting it at 85? You know, a lot of questions are about, like, the statins. At the very old age, you know, if it's going to take really several years to see the benefit of not causing a stroke, not having a stroke or a heart attack, but your person's 85, then maybe it's not worth starting it at that point because the risks, just not worth it. So it's a very individual decision and something you talk with the doctor and the pharmacist. But don't be scared. We have to put all that information on there, and some of the stuff is 1 in 100,000
right.
people, and
right.
hopefully you're not that unlucky one.
Yeah, no, the thing is, even when you go to the pharmacy now, they have the computer, yes,
yeah.
no, agree, or disagree. I mean, it shows it is getting serious that people are taking maybe combinations that don't work. And so it does, the burden, unfortunately, is on the consumer.
Yes.
And if the pharmacist doesn't ask,
yeah.
the side effects, and especially what you were saying earlier, Judy, the combinations, mm-hmm. then you have to even go back to, I assume it's your primary doctor. Because you can go to a cardiologist, then you go to your hip doctor, and each one's giving you a prescription.
Right, and you may have to make sure. So when you do go to all your doctors, bring that current list with you, or even bring a bag of the medicines. Bring all your medicines, because sometimes the doctors really need to see them. We call it a brown bag.
Okay.
So just plop it on their desk and say, take a look at it. Make sure you know that I'm on all these medicines before you prescribe the next one. And that includes over-the-counter medicine. So if you're taking an over-the-counter medicine regularly or even sometimes, let the doctor know too and say and ask the pharmacist, is it okay if I take this over-the-counter medicine with my prescription medicines? So buy your over-the-counter medicines where you get your prescriptions filled so the pharmacist can look up your record and compare and see.
Okay. Saying mixing stuff, and I don't know the answer to this, but I've heard it many times, the question, you know, people take herbal supplements.
Yeah.
Is that carte blanche to do those no matter what you're taking, or there are interactions with even a natural herbal supplement?
There are interactions.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of interactions we don't even know about probably. The problem with many of the herbals is they're not well studied. So we don't have a lot of information. And so I'm always cautious and telling you, just because it's natural doesn't mean it's safe. Arsenic is natural. It's not safe. Okay. Strychnine, not safe. And I have stories of people who have taken natural products that have ended up with toxicities or with interactions or just, you know, when the physicians don't know that they're on it and then they stop them abruptly, that they can have some severe side effects from that. So I'm very cautious. And I know I gave you my vitamin and mineral, what are the facts
myths.
And maybe we can talk about that in the next half some more about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, today a lot of people do try to supplement. They're taking the vitamins and naturopathic,
There's herbals and there's homeopathic,
okay.
Yeah, all kinds of things. So,
Are we ready for a break, Zach? Good, perfect. Judy's running the show here today. We'll be right back. You're listening to Project Independence and You on 88.1.